right? And I thought it would be nice for us today. Can we stand? Maybe go around and ask God's blessings to be upon the person beside you or the person behind you, right? Tell them, may the Lord bless you. So much of blessings. I think looks like the room is full of blessings. Praise God, I think, because God is a person who loves us so much that He wants to bless us. And what a great time it's being reminded again by the worship songs. I think we belong to Christ, right? I am His, and you know, and Christ belongs to me. It's a powerful reminder that not only I belong to Christ, you know, nothing can take me away from loving God or for serving Him. You know, nothing can pluck me away from God's love. I think that's a reminder for each and every one of us. We can live a life boldly, remembering that God's faithfulness is always with us. You know, today I thought we will just go through, or in other words, complete the book of Colossians. I think for the past few months we've been looking at Colossians and then trying to see how we can apply God's word into our life. And so the topic which I've taken today, it's called the final words. Final words. Well, Paul writes these final words. Words are very important, right? And even today, words are very important. The way we express ourselves to others through words, we express. And so these words are important. And so Paul is going to write the final words to the church in Colossae. And I think it's a reminder for us too, you know, the final words are always important. Remembering, you know, many, in my pastoral experience, many people have actually shared to me before they die. You know, they will say, Pastor Vincent, you know, I'm going to die. And these are my final words. And they will tell you at the end of the day, you know, but don't tell it to someone. Keep it to yourself. And so it is still locked inside me, right? So when I meet them in heaven, I will tell them, you know, I will get back to you. And so final words are important, and many a times it comes from the bottom of our heart, you know, saying, you know, this is my feeling, this is what I am looking forward to happen in our life. And I thought it would be important for us to look at these final words today. And from next week onwards, since it's going to be Lent season, I thought it would be good for us to just give ourselves to the readings, particularly from Luke and Mark. You know, but the way things happened in the life of Jesus, the many people who met Jesus along the way, and I thought it would be good for us to focus on the teachings of Christ, particularly the great things that Christ have done. Let's pray and ask God to be with us even today. Father, we thank You for this day that we can gather. We thank You, Lord, for reminding us that we belong to You. We are Yours, O God. Lord, even if today we are struggling, help us to know that we belong to You, because Your word says that our names are written on the palms of God's hand. And Father, and You're a God who knows us by name. We belong to You, God. And Lord, we pray as we give ourselves, Lord, to listening to Your word, we pray that You will speak to us. We want to be not only hearers of Your word, but to be found doers of Your word. And we thank You, Lord, because we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us, O God, to fulfill Your words in our life. We thank You once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I told you, final words are important, and I do not know how many of you have experienced, you know, particularly when someone is just leaving you, right, at the airport, you know, they will say, these are my final words, and you treasure them. You make sure that you complete whatever they have told you. And especially those who are dying, you know, when they come and say, you know, these are my final words, and you treasure them. You make sure that, you know, you apply that into your life. And so Paul is writing here some final words. You know, I was just reading certain articles and trying to find out some of the final words of certain people. And you know, this man, John Knox, as I told you, John Knox was a great man, a man of prayer. And even the Queen of England was afraid of John Knox because she said, you know, I'm afraid of the prayer of John Knox. And these were the final words of John Knox. He said at his deathbed, live in Christ, die in Christ, and the flesh need not fear death. Live in Christ, die in Christ, and the flesh will not fear death. And Richard Baxter, you know, it's a Puritan scholar in the 17th century, a great writer, a great thinker. He said, I have pain. He was at his deathbed. He said, I have pain. And then he paused for a moment. He said, I have peace. And he said, I have peace. And those were the final words of this great man. And, you know, Winston Churchill, the great man from the United Kingdom, you know, I was very saddened when I read his final words, though he was a man who said this word, you know, never give up, never give up. One of the great words that he said, never give up, never give up. But this great Winston Churchill at his deathbed said these words. And he said, I'm convinced that there is no hope. Can you imagine? I'm convinced there is no hope, because he did not have faith or even trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the list goes on. The list goes on. And so Paul writes the final words to the church in Colossae. And Paul is in prison. You know, when I was just reading the couple of verses that we are going to look today, you know, Paul says, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters and Laodicea. And I was just trying to feel the pulse of Paul. What is Paul trying to tell us? It is not just a couple of words that he's just writing. But when I was just trying to read, trying to understand what this man, great apostle, is teaching us, I see there are a lot of things that Paul is teaching us. Four things which I'd like to share with you from this particular passage. Firstly, when you look at verse, I'm trying to use PowerPoint today. Boy, I hope it works for me, right? The first verse in 15, he says, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Firstly, Paul says, you know, he says, give my greetings. You know, what is greetings? You know, when I was in the U.S., my wife and I, when we were there, I had a cultural shock when I was doing my graduate and postgraduate studies. Because in the U.S., when I was, when we landed first, you know, I was really in shock. Because, you know, when some people come to you and they say, hi, how are you doing? You know, and coming from Asia, by the time they say hi, I'll stand and I'm about to respond to them and they're 10 steps away from me. Right? Hi, how are you doing? And that's the way. So I came back and told my wife, you know, by the time I'm able to say I'm fine, you know, the guy is 10 steps away from me. And so then I began to realize it's just a greeting, that's all. Many a times people don't mean when they said hi to you. How are you today? Right? You go to a restaurant, that's what they say. They call you darling and sweetheart. But let me tell you, they don't really mean. You are not their darling, by the way. You are not their sweetheart. They will say hi. Probably they are expecting 20% of the, what do you call the tips? Right? In Singapore, we don't give tips. That's why I don't know the word tips yet. Right? And so what's happening? You know, it's. But when Paul uses a word, he's not using the way that today many of us use by saying hi and bye. Right? I think Paul is not using the way that we use today. And I was looking at the Greek word very carefully. You know, Paul uses the way by saying be connected. In other words, he says cherish the church. He says give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea. In other words, you know, when you look at the Greek word very carefully, it says, you know, he doesn't use the way we use hi. He says, be fond of, cherish. That's the way Paul is using the word greetings. You know, be fond of the brothers and sisters in Laodicea. Think of them, admire them, appreciate them. In other words, Paul is saying, be loyal to the body of Christ. Be loyal to the church that you belong. That's the way Paul is using the word. My greetings. Give my greetings. And that's what Paul is trying to tell the church in Laodicea. I think Paul is also saying the same words to us, right? He says, cherish the church. Think, be fond of the church. And, you know, whenever you read the word, you know, that we are a body of Christ, you know, sometimes we think, you know, we are a body of Christ. And if you look at the Greek word very carefully, it's a very medical term that's used here. Right? If one part suffers, the rest suffers. So when Paul uses the word, he's using a medical term. In other words, if one part of the body is taken off, what's happening? The rest of the body is suffering, is in pain. And that's the way Paul is saying. So Paul says, be connected with the church, cherish the church, be loyal, send my greetings, be fond of the church. And so Paul is reminding every believer in that particular city, in this place, that they should always be reminded, that they should be always be connected with the body of Christ. Because all of us are connected with Christ, right? And so we are connected with one another. And so that's what Paul is trying to say. And that's why when you read in certain passages of Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, 26, Paul says, if one suffers, another suffers. If one part of the body is in pain, the others should feel the pain. We should be in tears because another body of this body of Christ is suffering. And that's the way Paul is using today, the word cherish the church. In other words, be connected. The medical term that Paul is using. And sometimes when I was looking at this passage and I was asking myself, how do we see church today? Right? Church is a nice place. We want to go there. We worship God. But let me tell you, my friend, it is more than just coming together, singing a couple of songs. Paul uses differently. He says, be connected with the church, right? Be related to one another because you belong to Christ. If one suffers, the rest of them suffer. If one is in pain, the rest of them are feeling the pain. When was the last time when we knew someone was, you know, in great pain that we said, when we reached out to them and said, you know, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? You know, last week I was really very happy to say, you know, one of our church members texted me, and the person is here today, let me not say the name, and said, you know, Pastor Vincent, is there something that I can pray for you this week? I was really, you know, touched by that. And I told the person, yes, pray for me for this thing. And I even asked that person, because I was praying for the person throughout the week, and my wife also was praying for the person. You know, I think, when was the last time? And that's the way Paul is saying, be connected with the church. Why do we have small groups in the church? Why do we meet in downtown? Why do we meet in uptown? Why do we gather? Right? It's not that we want to kill time, because we want to cherish the church. We want to build up the body. We want to build up the body of Christ. And that's the way Paul is using the word here. And not only that, you know, when I look at this passage, he says, give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in a house. In other words, you know, can you imagine? Paul is not talking about the church that meets in Laodicea. Paul is also talking about the believers who are meeting in Nympha, right, in other places. Can you imagine the way Paul sees that? He doesn't see that my church is my church. I'm not concerned about what's happening in your church. When was the last time we prayed for the churches in this particular community? When was the last time we felt when a Christian was imprisoned in another part of the world? Because for the sake of the gospel, you know, the person is imprisoned. When was the last time we felt for the person and we made a prayer and said, Lord, please help my brother who's in prison, oh God, who's been persecuted for the gospel, for the sake of the gospel. That's the way Paul sees when he uses the word, send my greetings. Be connected, not only to one another in the church body, where we help one another, where we suffer with one another, where we encourage one another, when we feel the pain for one another, you know, when we, by the same time, we also connected to a larger body, the universal church. That's why whenever you say, when you come to the Lord's Communion, you use the word, you know, the Holy Catholic Church. It doesn't talk about the Roman Catholic Church. In other words, it means the universal church. Now, we're all connected. We're all in the same kingdom of God, my friend. And so Paul says, these are the final words of Paul. And he says, be formed, be connected with the body of Christ. And that's why it's important for us to come to church. Why? Because we want to be connected with the body. It's important for us to worship God together, to pray for one another, because we want to be connected to the body. And that's what Paul is trying to say here. And secondly, Paul says, not only you feel you cherish the church or be connected with the church, secondly, Paul moves on by saying, be committed. In other words, he says, in verse 16, he says, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. You know, when I was just looking at it, what is Paul trying to say? And in those days, they didn't have the luxury like us. We have scriptures, leather bound and every bound, right? And very colorful. We have large print, small print, medium print, every kind is available today. But in those days, it was not. And so it was just the letters of Paul or some of the writings that was available in those days. And they shared with one another. So if I received a letter from Paul, you know, I will pass it to another church for them to read. And they will pass their letters. And so they were general letters that were written to the churches. And so Paul says, you know, read the letter. In other words, be committed. Read the letter. And I was just looking at the word, you know, the Greek word. You know, by the way, I like Greek, but I'm trying to, you know, catch up with my Greek. And the way Paul uses the word read, it is not just reading. In other words, he says, exeget, in other words, expound God, read. That's the word that he's using here, right? It is not just read, but I'm just chewing on the word of God. I'm expounding on God's word. I'm looking at in God's word in detail. That's the way Paul is using. He says, you know, I'm reading in such a way that I want to consume. I want to be committed to God's word. I'm reading it because not only I want to be found reading, but I want to be found doing God's word. Now, many times, you know, people are hearers of God's word. That's wonderful, my friend. But great thing is, you know, when we become not only hearers, but doers of God's word. And so Paul, when he says, read the word, he says, chew on God's word, expound on God's word. Just give yourself into God's word. Read the words that I have sent you and I've sent to them. You know, that's the way Paul is encouraging them, reading God's word. Reading God's word. I think when you go to any church, this is one of the things that you will hear. Read God's word. Read God's word. Pray. Right? Come to church. These are some of the words that we will hear. But lately, you know, I've been reading a couple of articles, particularly I've been looking at church movements, you know, church growth movements. If you realize, you know, many churches today actually have not given importance to God's word. Why do I say that? You know, today, people in many churches, they talk about relationship. We want to be connected to one another, right? But less on the doctrine, less on the teachings of God. You know, but Paul says, no. It's not about programs. It's not about, you know, why do we come together as a small group? It's not to get to know one another. It is to read God's word, to chew on God's word, to expound God's word. That's what Paul is trying to teach us through the final words, my friend. You know, we should never compromise on God's word. Today, as I told you, many churches are just moving away in a very subtle way. That's the way I think sometimes I feel Satan works in a very subtle way. Like gone are the days when whenever you hear the word Satan, we think of him, you know, with dark clothes or, you know, with, you know, teeth coming out, the long ears. No. I'm sorry, my friend. Those days are all gone. He works in a very subtle way. He moves the church away from God's word to become more program-oriented, to become more relational, right? It's not wrong to be relational, my friend, but not at the expense of God's word. God's word is the key. And so Paul says, cherish the word. Read the word, right? The letter that you have been read to you, make sure that you are reading, that you are reading God's word. And you know, when you know Paul writes, and you know, why do we read God's word? Because Jesus said in John 5:39, because these words testify about the Lord. It speaks about God's, it speaks about Christ, right? It speaks about who Christ is, you know, what he is doing in our lives and what he can do in our lives, my friend. And if you read, I think Paul's favorite writing to the younger minister, which is 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all scriptures is inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the men of God will be equipped in it. Right? It's inspired by God. And so he says, read God's word, expound on God's word. Thirdly, Paul says, as I told you, he says, be connected with the body, with the church, cherish your church, right? Be committed to God's word. Read God's word. Give yourself found doing God's word. And thirdly, you know, Paul says in verse 17, he says, be courageous. In verse 17, he says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. You know, and when I was just reading this word again and again, I was asking myself, why is Paul, what is Paul trying to tell us? You know, Paul is writing this man to this particular man. You know, some say, you know, he was a lay pastor of the church, Archippus. And so, you know, Archippus was so much involved in other activities of the church that he was not giving time expounding God's word. He was so much involved, occupied with all the activities of the church, that his preaching of the word, expounding on God's word, became something a bit minor to him. He was not giving much time to that. And so Paul reminds this man through this letter by saying, remind him, see to it, make sure, ensure that he is preaching God's word, is expounding the word, or in other words, doing the ministry that is given to him. His ministry was to preach the word of God. Make sure that he is completing. You know, when I was looking at the word very carefully, it says, you know, you have received in the Lord. In other words, you know, it is God who gives us the ministry. It is not Pastor Vincent or the EMT comes and says, you know, come and do this ministry. No, my friend, yes, we will encourage you to be part of the ministry. But according to the word very carefully, God has given us ministry. Each and every one of us have been given some kind of ministry. And so he says, complete the ministry that you have received in the Lord. And that's what, you know, Paul is trying to say. You know, if I go deeper, when I was looking at the word very carefully, let me not use Greek words here. You know, when Paul, what Paul is trying to say here, you know, complete the work that has been given to you. In other words, Paul is trying to say, you know, whatever you do, you are doing some kind of ministry. Whatever you say, you are doing some kind of ministry. Do you realize that? Ministry, today, whenever we say ministry, we think that, you know, if I'm an usher, I'm doing a ministry. If I'm a worship leader, I'm doing a ministry. If I'm preaching, I'm doing a ministry. You know, if I'm preparing refreshments, what's refreshment today? I do not know. Right? It's ministry. It is not just the doing, my friend, but being is also a ministry. That's the way Paul looks at ministry. If you look at, you know, Colossians, when Paul writes in Colossians 3:17, right? He says in 3:17, Colossians 3:17. You know, he says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether your word or your deed, you are involved in ministry, my friend, because we belong to Christ. It is not because I'm engaging in a particular ministry. Even my word is a ministry to God. My deed is a ministry to God. Bringing a brother, you know, counseling him, sitting and having a coffee with him, having an encouraging word with him, it is also a ministry according to Paul. So it is not just, you know, doing ministry in the church. If you're bringing someone who's new to the church for a coffee and just praying with them, that is also a ministry. If you're praying for them, that is also a ministry. If you have some nice words for them, that is also a ministry. That's the way Paul looks at Colossians 3:17. Even in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I look at this word, I'm reminded by Paul that all of us are ministers. It's not Pastor Vincent alone. It is not Pastor Amy who's sitting at the back, my friend. All of us are ministers through our words, through our deeds, our actions, our reactions, the things that we involve, we are ministers. And so he says, and God has given us the ministry. Fulfill, right? Fulfill and do what is given to you. Lastly, let me finish because we have communion today. Paul moves on to the last C. He says, be challenged. In verse 18, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. I, Paul, write this greeting on my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. When I was looking at this word, verse 18, I was just asking myself, what is Paul trying to tell us here? Why is he talking about chains? Why is he reminding the church that he's in prison? When I was just working on this particular sermon, I was just trying to imagine myself, sitting together with Paul in the prison. In those days, what they do, they chain your hand to your leg. And so, can you imagine Paul, he's writing this particular letter. And he wants them to remember the chain. Why? Why should we remember the chain? What is he trying to tell us? Is he trying to tell us that he's in prison or getting some kind of sympathy? Let me tell you, my friend, most of the letters that Paul wrote were prison letters. Is it out of sympathy that he's saying, remember my chain or remember my suffering? No. Paul doesn't want our sympathy. When I look at the word very carefully, Paul is trying to tell us it is worth suffering for Christ. When I look at my chain, it reminds me that I'm suffering for Christ. It is worth suffering for Christ. It's worth. And I will never compromise for that. Paul could have easily compromised and left the prison, my friend. But Paul was willing to go through the prison, be chained, because it is worth suffering for Christ. It is worth living a life for Christ. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us. Be rooted in God's love. Have God's love in you. Be rooted in His love. And that's what Paul is reminding us. Remember the chains. Remember the chains. It is worth suffering for Christ. It is worth living a life for Christ. It is worth, giving away all my riches for Christ. It is worth. That's what Paul is trying to say. Is it worth? Is Christ worth living for us today, my friend? Is it worth giving a life for Christ? I think that's what Paul is encouraging the Christians. Remember my chains. It is worth. It is worth living and giving my life for Christ. And if we look at the writers very carefully, Paul talks about it very carefully. In 2 Timothy 2:12, Paul writes to the young minister, and James writes, James, who's also the half-brother of Jesus, in chapter 5, verse 10, talks about suffering. They talk about, it's worth suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth. And so, the final words of Paul is, be connected. Cherish the church. When was the last time you spoke well about our church? When was the last time you prayed for our church? When was the last time you felt when someone was going through some difficult moments in the church, you felt for them. You were with them. You felt the pain. be connected when someone else, a Christian, is suffering overseas for the gospel? Was it just a news to you? Or did you see yourself, you know, I feel the pain because I belong to that same body of Christ? And Paul says, be committed. Read the word, expound on the word, chew on the word. Make your life be not only hearers but doers of the word. It's important, my friend. Never compromise on God's word. This is the key, because it testifies about Jesus Christ. It is not just about parables or miracles. It talks about this great Messiah. You know, when I read, I begin to see God's love. I begin to see God's mercy upon me. It's not just stories alone, but inside the stories, I see God. I see His presence. I see God loving me in a very special way. Be courageous. Fulfill the task that God has given you. Right? God has given us, each and everyone, some kind of task, my friend. It is what you have received from God. Do what God has given you, even in word or deed. All of us are ministers. We are ministering to God. And then be, as Paul says, be challenged. Be challenged. It is worth suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth giving our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me finish with a story. I have two stories. I do not know which story to say. I have a small one and I have a longer one. Shall I go for a longer one or a smaller one? Hello? Longer one? Sure? Are you sure? Just to make Pastor Vincent happy? Let me, you know, I'll just say a shorter one. Yeah. You know, it's about the U.S. Civil War. And I think during the time of Abraham Lincoln was a great president. And so Abraham Lincoln gathered a group of pastors together, and they call it the prayer breakfast. And so they came together for a time of breakfast, and Lincoln was not a real church goer. You know, sometimes, you know, we do not know whether he was a strong believer or not. You do not know about him much. But, you know, he gathered the pastors together, and so they were just praying because they were in a very critical moment in their life. Particularly, America was at that point of time. And so, so when they were praying and asking God to help them, and the country was going through, and so one of the ministers told Lincoln, you know, Mr. Lincoln, let us pray that God will be on our side. One of the pastors said, you know, President, let's pray that God will be on our side. For a moment, Lincoln listened and then immediately responded by saying, no, I think you got things wrong. We shouldn't pray like that. You know, Lincoln said these words, and let me read the words of Lincoln. He said, you know, no, gentlemen, let us pray that we are on God's side. Let us pray that we are on God's side. You know, when I was looking at the word, you know, sometimes, many a times, we want God to be on our side. Lord, we want you, Lord. You come and accommodate yourself into our side. Come into our area. This is what I want. This is what I like. And this is what I want from you. We want God to be on our side. You know, my friend, Lincoln said, we want ourselves to be on God's side. And that's what Paul was trying to tell us. It's not making God's word just suit us, but we need to modify our life, arrange our life, that we belong to God's side. And that's what Paul wants us, to fulfill the word that God has given us. Be courageous. That's what Paul wants us, and that's what the word of God tells us. Be connected. It is not finding a church. Today I know many people shop for church because we want a church that suits us, my friend. No. We need to be connected wherever we are, wherever we belong, my friend, because that's our church. It is not church shopping. We need to be connected. We need to be found fulfilling the ministry that God has given us and not be sidetracked. We need to be courageous on this, and we should always tell ourselves, you know, Lord, I want to be on your side of God, not making God to be on our side. Let's pray. Just want you to take a moment to think of the words of Abraham Lincoln. The minister said, the pastor said, President, let us pray that God will be on our side. Lincoln's response was profound. He said, no, gentlemen, let us pray that we will be on God's side. Many a times we pray, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I like. This is what I want you to do for me. I'm not saying that you cannot ask God. But if you look at many of our prayers, it is telling God, Lord, I want you to be on my side. It's about me. It's about mine. No, my friend. We need to be on God's side. It's about God. About His terms. His terms. His time. His ways. His plans. His desires. Paul could have lived a life, a great life, because he was a smart man. He was a learned man. But he wanted to be on God's side. How are you today? How much are you connected to our church today? Is it just a place that you come and worship, or do we feel connected to one another? Do we feel the pain when someone in our church is going through a difficult or a trying moment in their life? Did we ever spend some time praying for them? When we hear about people, about Christians who are giving their lives for Christ as missionaries suffering, was it just a news to you? Or did you feel the pain? You know, when Paul was on the road of Damascus, Jesus said, Paul, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul did not in no way persecuted Christ. But because he persecuted Christians, Christ was persecuted. That's the way the Lord looks at the church. How much are you courageous for the Lord Jesus Christ? How much are you challenged to stand for Christ alone, as we just sang? It is worth, remember my chains. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us, Lord, help us to live a life on your side, O God, on your terms. Not my ways, O God, but your ways. Not my desires, O God, but yours. We want to be on your side, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.